Well, hello and welcome, everybody. It is Rafa Gonzalez, and yes, you are still listening to World Football Daily. This is the first day of me standing in for Juice on a temporary basis to bring you our daily chats with our top football minds from around the world. Now, before we get into our guests for the day, let me explain something. I'm more of a producer and the web guy for the show, and I generally bring on the guests for the program. So I'm not really used to talking to our guests on a regular basis. But let me say that every person I do bring on, it's generally someone I read on a regular basis or I watch them on television. Sometimes it's both. But fairly regularly, I'm you know, reading these people, and these are people that I respect. So I'm really, truly honored to be talking to our guests for the however long Juice needs. I think it's just for about 2 to 3 weeks. But anyways, I'm very today's guest is no different. I wanted to head to Germany this Monday, and who better of a man to bring on to do that than somebody who is there right now, Kit Holden, a German football correspondent for The Independent, contributor to, and you'll have to tell me if I butchered this, Kit, Der Tagesspiegel, and several other outlets, which I won't try to butcher at this point in time, and also the editor of BundesligaFootball.co.uk. Welcome to the show, Kit. Sorry about that long introduction.
That's all right, mate. You're well.
Yeah. All right, now, I made sure to watch as much Bundesliga football as possible as we can. Just, again, looking forward to our chat, Kit. Now, looking at the match of the weekend, and obviously I'm referring to Bayern Munich, Dortmund, I kind of felt that the 3-0 scoreline was a little bit harsh for Dortmund initially after the match. I felt that they started strong and were probably the better team of the first half, in my opinion. Obviously, there was a couple good opportunities from Bayern Munich as well. That Mandzukic, whoever it was that had that volley, was just incredible. Incredible touch, man. And then that follow-up shortly thereafter from the Müller try. Anyways, then Götze comes on. Double agent spy. Gets a goal. I felt more like it was just about that time that the Dortmund back line, the makeshift back line, just got caught up finally. And ultimately, Dortmund just got caught twice thereafter trying to fight back. Now, that was my Cliff Notes, and I'm not sure if you know what Cliff Notes are, but if not, don't worry about it. It's just a basic summary. My first question following this game would be, what is the potential of Bayern Munich going unbeaten through the entirety of the Bundesliga season?
It's huge. That is the Toni Kroos has come out just after the game to sort of identify it as their big goal. Now, obviously, how can you improve on last season when they won every trophy? You can go a season unbeaten, which has never been done in the Bundesliga. And it's obviously going to be one of their goals. That said, it's not Guardiola's prerogative to set goals like that. He'll be taking it one game at a time. But certainly they can do it. I mean, the depth of their squad is phenomenal. That's why they won that game so convincingly, or at least, you know, and why they're 4 points ahead and 7 points ahead of Dortmund. There's just a gulf in the way that Bayern can replace their players and the way the other teams can. So they certainly have the potential to do it. They have the flexibility to do it. But it's a huge task, and it's certainly not one that they're sort of setting themselves up for just yet, and it's not the primary season goal.
Now, like I said, I kind of felt that the 3-0 scoreline was a bit harsh after initially watching. But now that some time has kind of passed for me, when you look at the fact that Dortmund were undone by a weakened Bayern Munich squad with no Frank Ribéry at home, when they really, really needed to get a result, not just after the fact that they had lost at home to Arsenal in the Champions League, but also looking forward to the next two games. I mean, this four-game run of stretch, Arsenal, Bayern, Napoli, Leverkusen, this is a massive, massive stretch of games for them. And you really felt like, you know, if they wanted to make that title fight even worth talking about, they needed to get a result from this, at least a draw. Should we, knowing that, should we expect more from Dortmund from this match?
I think we have to look at the way Dortmund actually kept it to 1-0 until 85 minutes with the team that was considerably more weakened than Bayern. I mean, what you said about the squad, that is the big gulf between the two clubs at the moment. That when Bayern have a couple of players who are missing, they can always replace them pretty much one for one, whereas Dortmund can't do that. And defence was a particularly huge problem. And I think you know, Uli Hoeneß came out after the game and said, you know, that was a game with two teams on the same level, and it was partly politics to try and tone down the sort of rivalry, but it was also, it was true. I mean, you know, for most of the game, it was a relatively even thing. Obviously, the result, that doesn't help the result in any way for Dortmund. And obviously, as you say, this is the Napoli game is the crunch game. That was the real sort of big game that they've got coming up in the next few weeks. I think the title race, it's not like they've given up on it, and it's not like they will give up on it, but they're always going to be the underdogs in that game, whereas it's very much expected of them to get out of that Champions League group, however difficult it is. And as a result, I think the Napoli game is the more important game. But I think in terms of the game against Bayern, you can't sort of overstate, we can't afford to overstate just how bad they were, because they weren't that bad. They played on the same level as Bayern until 85 minutes, and as you say, got caught on the counter twice, and sure, the result was unflattering.
Now, Weidenfeller at Dortmund, he got his first cap recently, and he followed that into this massive rivalry match against Bayern, losing 3-0. However you take that, I guess, what I want to know is, what is the opinion in Germany about this keeper following this kind of epic week, and knowing, you know, the kind of pressure that's still on him going into his next two matches? How have they looked at his last two performances, and what's the general response also from the German football fans, considering, you know, he made an appearance for his country, and he's one of the top keepers in Bundesliga right now?
Well, he's always been a bit of a divisive figure anyway. I mean, he had an incident in 2007 where he was accused of making racist comments to Gerhard Asamoah, a game against Schalke, and then it turned out, Dortmund defended him by saying they weren't racist, they were just homophobic comments. So that was how he got out of that. So he's been a bit of a divisive figure since then, and he's not, in terms of his character, not the most popular player outside of Dortmund, but in terms of his quality, I don't think anyone really doubts that anymore. In the last 2 years, he has been, after Neuer, certainly the second best keeper in the Bundesliga, and there's an argument to say he's been as good as Neuer, if not better at times. The cap for Germany was generally seen as a bit of a token gesture from Löw, to sort of maybe appease the whole argument he has with Dortmund at the moment about the selection of their players. It was a nothing game. Weidenfeller had absolutely nothing to do in the game, and he got his cap, and it's not a great likelihood that he'll then follow the squad to the World Cup. So that's kind of by the by. I don't think many people really begrudged him that or thought it was, you know, something completely remarkable. But I think, you know, in terms of how he's been playing in the last few weeks, I mean, he has had, shall we say, that week in defence in front of him, and that's been one of those things when he's always had Hummels and Subotic in front of him in the last 2 years, and that's become a sort of a cooperation that's worked really well for Dortmund, and suddenly that's been torn apart. It's you know, he's not going to be maybe flattered to a great extent, but I don't think he's been really sort of playing awfully. The Napoli game again for him is huge, obviously, because he got sent off in the first game against Napoli, and so it's a kind of, not so much revenge, but certainly a chance to redeem himself and for the team to redeem themselves. So He's a central figure, but I wouldn't say his reputation has been harmed considerably in recent weeks.
All right, now to wrap up the Bayern Dortmund talk, Kit, what is this whole story about the mole in Pep Guardiola's dressing room? Are people leaking valuable team info to the press, or is this just kind of another article that is just looking for anything to talk about Bayern aside from their winning ways?
It's somewhere in between. I mean, what happened was Bild, Germany's biggest tabloid, got a hold of a piece of information from inside the Bayern camp prior to the Dortmund game and published it. And it was about Guardiola's tactical setup, and it was to do with long balls. And then it was proven correct during the game. That's obviously caused a huge sort of storm at Bayern. Rummenigge has come out and said a few words saying, you know, this person needs to change their attitude. Bild have quoted Guardiola as saying he's going to throw whoever it is out of the setup, and if it's a player, they'll never play under him again. It's yet to be verified, that quote, and it's all a little bit sort of murky, this story, as to what quotes are true. But what certainly is true is that Bild got hold of this information, which, you know, has upset Bayern and is certainly a problem for them. There's been a lot of speculation as to, is this the first sort of divisive thing between Guardiola and his players? But I don't think we should really exaggerate that too much because, A, we don't know if it is a player. It could be someone within the training staff or anyone who might have been, you know, sitting in on a meeting and it wasn't a really, really significant piece of information. It was a piece of information that shouldn't have got out, but, you know, it wasn't kind of something completely massive. It could have been a whole host of different people. So it's not necessarily to do with the squad, though it might be. And as I say, you know, Bill constantly, you know, throwing sort of a huge scandal into everything, and it's, you have to kind of take some of what they wrote with a pinch of salt. And that's their job. That's, you know, they do it remarkably, and they do uncover a lot of fantastic and things which other papers don't. But I mean, you know, they sensationalise. That's what they're there for. So we'll see how it develops. But I think at the moment we shouldn't overplay it too much because it is, you know, Bayern have come out and said strong words about it and said there will be strong consequences if someone is found to have gone behind Guardiola's back. But at the moment, yeah, it's somewhere in between a serious problem and a bit of a tabloid storm.
Fair enough. Now, you were covering Hertha Berlin v. Bayern Leverkusen at the weekend, Kid, if I remember correctly. Now, this was
I was at the ground, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Now, this was Leverkusen's first win over the capital club in 6 years, and I caught that little bit of information from watching this game too, knowing that you were going to be there. And I definitely want to talk a little bit more Bundesliga football with you outside of Bayern Dortmund. Now, with obviously a goal from Stefan Kiesling to win it, my question is this. Leverkusen can only hope to match or best Dortmund at this point in the league, right? There's no catching Bayern, can they?
You wouldn't think so. I mean, the way they played against Hertha was not particularly encouraging in that regard. I mean, they got the win, but it wasn't, by any stretch of the imagination, a convincing one. Sydney Sam as well, getting injured 4 minutes into that game and is out for an indefinite amount of time, is going to seriously harm their season if it turns out to be a serious injury. And they don't really, I think, have the quality to catch Bayern. But certainly, when, you know, they're second now, they're 4 points behind Bayern, where Dortmund are seven. And it's, you know, they're not to be sneered at, but they are a work in progress. Hoopier still hasn't got his full coaching license. We need to remember that. You know, he's learning on the job. The players are learning with him. It's a mixed squad. There's quite a few young players, a few more experienced players, and it's, you know, it is a work in progress, and it's a good side, a very good side, and on its day, it's a very impressive side. But, you know, we've seen some results against Braunschweig, against Hertha. That performance, if not the result, was disappointing. And I think, yeah, the best they can hope for is second, and even that is going to be a tough charge for them. But I think against United, that's going to be the huge, huge challenge for them this week coming up in the Champions League, because in that first game, they at times looked like they could match United. They obviously aren't finding their form either this season. And something psychologically went wrong for them, and they lost that game when perhaps they could have got a draw or even a victory. So the home leg this week will be a big test of Leverkusen's psychology and their quality.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm really looking forward to that game. What can we expect from Bayer Leverkusen in this Manchester United match? Are they going to take it to them? Surely they should be able to kind of capitalize on United. It's kind of a sad draw at the weekend against Cardiff City. I'm sure you kind of caught that as well. Surely they can capitalize on a weekend Bayern or a Manchester United squad, Kit.
I'm sure they can. They can also capitulate against them. I think that's what's interesting about the game is, like I say, both teams have quality. Both teams are in a work in progress with managers who are new, albeit in different ways. They're new to that setup, and you know it's quite a lot with the psychological sort of games that go on within a football match that game is going to change or be decided, I think. And I think United probably still do have a touch more quality in their squad. So I think if they get the psychological upper hand quickly, then they probably will win out. But that's not the right level, because it's not by any stretch of the imagination, because they're a fantastic side. And I think, you know, defensively, to be fair on them against Hertha, they were very strong. He has had something ridiculous like 44 crosses, of which only one went in, or some balmy statistic like that, and it was, you know, a very, very solid defensive performance generally from Leverkusen. So, you know, there are pluses to the game at the weekend, and there are things that they can exploit against United, and We'll see, but I think generally it's going to be a bit of a psychological battle between two teams who are struggling psychologically.
All right, and last question, and I'm sorry to do this to you, but you've seen him personally, you've seen his tactics, and you've also been watching him at the start of his career, at the start of his managerial career. What do you make of Sammy Hypia, and what do you? I mean, how do you predict his managerial career kind of panning out?
I think it'll be very successful. I mean, what he has is a very much a sort of mentality which is very, very grounded. He knows exactly where he is. He's very reserved. He doesn't get too carried away with his emotions. He works very hard. He's instilled a kind of he's trying to instill a certain amount of flow and joy to Leverkusen's game, is the German word for it. It's not a very good translation, but vigor and life to it, as well as having that sort of solidity at the back, which they showed against Hertha. So it's actually, he does have a very solid plan. The fact that he's done so well over the last year and a half for Leverkusen bears that out, and certainly there's a lot of respect for him. It is early days there, and it's very difficult to know how he'd work at a club where perhaps there's a bit more media pressure, and his whole personality of standing back from the media light and being very reserved and quite quiet, actually, in the public eye. If you were at a bigger club where there's more media, or in a city like Hamburg or Liverpool, for example, where the media is constantly on the back of the club, he might be different. But certainly in terms of tactical and man management style, he's proven himself to be a success already at Leverkusen, and looks promising.
Yeah. Now, before I let you go, I just wanted to kind of see what you're doing. Obviously, this is a big Champions League week. Where can people find you? What are we looking for from Kit Holden? What are you covering this week in terms of German football?
This week, well, I'm actually on in terms of where I am physically, I'm in a completely different place in the world. I'm in Salzburg for various reasons, but I'll be watching all three games in the German side, and I'll be reviewing Dortmund Napoli is going to be the big one, of course. So that's the one I'll be focusing on. But Bayern game is by the by, really. But Leverkusen United and Dortmund Napoli are certainly two very, very big games, which I'll be covering for, and certainly writing something on. See you, Rafa.
Brilliant. Well, Kit, thank you so much for joining us. And I really appreciate you making the time for us. And we look forward to having you again soon.
Okay, all right, mate.
All right, take care, Kit. That was Kit Holden of, again, the Independent, Der Tagesspiegel. I'm sorry, that was really terrible. And definitely check out his work at bundesligafootball.co.uk or tweet him. Tweet him at Kit Holden on Twitter, so do that. This was another interview by World Football Daily. It was me, Rafa, who was giving it to you, not Ollie the Juice Wilson. But I send it back to him now. Juice, what did you make of that? Did you enjoy Kit Holden?